Today's scripture comes from 2 Peter 1, 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. This is the word of the Lord for us.
Well, good morning, MCA. What a joy it is to be together this morning. Sunday is my favorite day of the week, and it is definitely springtime in Ohio, isn't it? You know, we talked earlier this morning in prayer time about God gives us just what we need. He knows that the land needs the water, the soil needs to be wet for the springtime planting, and this is a season, of course, where we're looking at preparing the fields and getting those crops in, and it's a season of growth, whether it's the crops that are going in those fields or those bunnies that are in the burrow. It's a beautiful time of year with signs of life all around. You know, some of you are starting to think about mowing your lawn, aren't you? Some of you want to think about anything other than mowing your lawn, but it will soon be upon us. Oh, and those weeds, too, that will soon be growing right along with that, that we'll need pulled. I do love this season because of the freshness, because of the newness, the signs of growth, the buds on the trees, and so on. And the reason I start with that this morning is because we are to exhibit the exact same kind of thing in our spiritual lives, in our walk with Jesus, that he leads us in those seasons of growth. He leads us in those seasons of visible newness and freshness, like seasons where we're stretched, what we're maturing, and we're growing stronger in him. Like, we're on fire for Christ, and the flame just seems to be getting brighter and brighter and brighter. And so, I'd like for us to consider this morning, as we come before the Lord and study his word, if we are growing spiritually. Are we growing spiritually? I think that's an important question for us to begin with. And whether the answer is yes or no, what is it that causes spiritual growth? So if you're in a season of growth, what is happening right now that causes that? And if you stay for our Sunday school hour, I hope that you will share some of those things. What is it that you have found causes you to grow spiritually, whether intentional or things that came upon you? If you're not in a season of growth, when you were growing, what was it that was happening in that season? I think these are important questions for us to humbly and genuinely address. And along with that, does the Lord want you to grow spiritually? Does the Lord want you to mature even more in your faith, rely even more in your trust of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or have you arrived at that mountaintop of faith? Those who have long walked with the Lord Jesus, decade over decade, are you just there? You've just reached that mountaintop of faith? There's no more room for growth? Certainly not. And so that's why I say humbly, genuinely, this morning, I think it's appropriate for us to say, am I growing spiritually? Does God want me to grow spiritually? And in what ways is God going to cause that? We have this great encouragement, by the way. I'm not just making this up. From the scriptures, specifically from the book of 2 Peter, to keep growing in Christ. That's the title of this morning's sermon. The sermon series that we're about to embark upon is Growing in Christ, and that's just what we're going to talk about together today. So let me introduce myself. My name is John. I serve as lead pastor. I am thrilled that you have joined us this morning, and I'm praying that through our time together, your heart and home grow even stronger in the Lord. So, brand new sermon series, 2 Peter. You know, we did 1 Peter back in, I believe it was February, and so now it's time for part two. So, many of you were here. You remember some of those sermons, some of the study we did in 1 Peter. You would probably remember then that in his first letter, what Peter is doing is giving instructions to the church on how to deal with persecution. So they were a group of believers who were starting to scatter throughout the Roman Empire, and they were facing great ridicule, people who misunderstood them, people who started rumors about them, and people who were going after them. And so 1 Peter is a book about standing strong in the face of persecution. 2 Peter is quite different. He is teaching them how to deal with false teachers and evildoers from within. 1 Peter is persecution from outside. 2 Peter is dealing with evil right in their midst. There had arisen among them what Peter calls destructive heresies. This is in chapter 2. Actually, we're not going to study this morning. We will study this once we get to chapter 2. But false teachers who were undermining the fruitful ministry among them, and they were denying Christ. Most likely they were saying, Jesus isn't going to come back. He didn't really mean that. He's not coming. Give up that hope of the return of Christ. Peter also helps us understand that these false teachers, these evildoers, they were filled with greed. So their motivation wasn't kingdom business, it was financial gain. They were indulging in sensuality, and they were arrogant. So again, I'll leave that there for now. We will address that specifically once we get to chapter 2. We are going to spend 4 weeks studying through this letter written by Peter to the church scattered, to Christian believers. So we will go fairly slow through these next 4 weeks. We're going to have really the opportunity, I think, to go through the entire book. In fact, I can kind of give you a bit of an outline. Well, before I do that, the main theme, the main point that is being communicated, if we were to sum it up, and we again titling the sermon series this Growing in Christ, is Peter saying it's time to mature. It's time to rightly be able to discern false teaching from true theology. In fact, the best summary statement of this or encouragement is the very last verse of the book of 2 Peter. So if you have your Bible with you, go ahead and open it up. Turn to 2 Peter. Let's jump ahead to the very last verse. So there are three chapters. So it's 2 Peter, chapter 3, and verse 18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forevermore. That's really kind of a theme verse for this particular book. Growing in Christ. Growing in the knowledge and grace of Christ. It reminds me of a friend of mine that said, this year has been all about personal growth. Really? Yep. I went from large to 2X. So breaking down the book, this is kind of just the bigger picture look, sort of an outline of the book of 2 Peter would be chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, which is what we'll study today, these 11 verses, where the encouragement is keep growing in Christ. Keep growing, like the buds on the trees, like the bunnies in the burrows, like springtime in Ohio. That should be a picture of your life in Jesus. Keep growing in Christ. Chapter 1, then, verses 12 through 21, the rest of the chapter is, keep studying prophecies about Christ. And so we'll look at Old Testament prophecies and the encouragement there from Peter. From hold on to the words of truth, hold on even to the Old Testament prophecies that clarify who Jesus is, and yes, the fact that he came once and he's coming again. So keep growing in Christ is the first part of chapter 1. Keep studying the prophecies of Christ. That's the second part of chapter 1. And then chapter 2 is keep holding on to Christ by being aware of false teachers. So all of chapter 2 is kind of warning about false teachers. And then chapter 3, keep looking forward to the second coming of Christ. And so those really will be the four messages that we look at over these next weeks as we study 2 Peter. So I would encourage you to get into this book on your own. We will be studying it on Sunday mornings. We have a monthly memory verse that we will commit to memory from this particular book, but I would encourage you to do your own study as well over these next weeks in the book of 2 Peter. So you've got your Bibles with you. You've already opened up to this book of 2 Peter. Let's go to the very beginning, chapter 1, verse 1, where Nate read for us the first opening verses a few moments ago. Simon Peter. Do we know who the author is? This was one of the followers of Jesus, one of the 12 apostles, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ. To, so that's who wrote the letter, Simon Peter. This is who it's to. Those who through the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours. Now, right there, we've already got a theological point to make. And I don't want to gloss over, you know, we want to pick up as many nuggets of truth as we can as we study this book. That our faith is based on righteousness. Righteousness. Like goodness, justice, God's best. But it's not based on our righteousness, is it? We see that very clearly there. It's God's. This is what we heard on Wednesday night in the Bible study, by the way. Keith was sharing about this, like, it's not entirely true to say that ours is not a works-based salvation. This is a really good thought, isn't it? Because sometimes we say, well, we don't believe in a works-based salvation. We actually do believe in a works-based salvation. It's just not our work. We believe in a works-based salvation. It's the work of Christ that allows us to experience salvation. So it is a works-based salvation, right? And so we see that clearly here in 2 Peter as well. It's based on righteousness, but it's not our righteousness. It's the righteousness of God and of his Christ. So, verse 2. Grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge, and I have that underlined, by the way, knowledge, of God and of Jesus our Lord. In fact, in verses 1 through 11, and if you have it there in front of you, look to see the word knowledge. Now, depending on your English translation, I'm teaching from the NIV. I count 5 times in just these 11 verses where this particular word is used. So, must be important. That can be an indicator as we study the scripture of, this is probably something notable, something that's being emphasized, something that we should take note of. So, the Greek word that's used here is gnosis. And what it implies is a practical or even experiential knowledge. So, not just an intellectual understanding. What we're hearing here, what Peter is getting at, is knowing God in a real, personal way. Isn't that wonderful? That we can have a personal relationship with God through Jesus. And that's emphasized throughout this passage by this use of the word gnosis, the Greek gnosis, translated in English as knowledge. And it reminds me of the great theologian A.W. Tozer and what he said, what comes to our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us. It's our knowledge of God that shapes our thoughts and our behaviors and our attitudes and our actions, our values. It really shapes who we are. What we think of God and about God shapes who we are. And it certainly influences the way we respond to God. So we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, we're at verse 3. His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. And let's keep reading there, verse 4. Through these, he has given us his very great and precious promises, so that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. What he's getting at here is that our life with Christ is based on the promises of God's word. Not based on my feelings, not based on my rationale or intellect, based on the truth, the promises of God's word. If only we would allow, church, if only we would allow the promises of God's word to guide us, to influence us. More than our feelings, more than what everyone else seems to be doing or thinking, what direction other people have taken. If only we would allow the promises and the truths of God's word to guide us. So again, our very identity, who we are, becomes rooted in the promises of God, the stories of God at work among humanity. And Psalm 146:6 says that God always keeps his promises. And maybe this morning, you need reminded about the promises of God. Maybe that's the reason that you're here today. You've studied the scripture, you've heard promises of God, but maybe you haven't been dwelling on them or meditating on them or reflecting on them or allowing them to take root in your heart and your mind, in your life, to be that guiding, navigating force for you. Can I remind you of some of the promises from God's word? I would love to speak these promises over you, over your family, over our church this morning. From Psalm 139, he created us and he knows us. From 2 Peter 2:9, he chose us. The scriptures affirm in multiple places that God is always with us. That is one of his promises. Isaiah 49:15 and 16 tell us that God never forgets us. Psalm 121 tells us that God watches over our lives and keeps us from harm. Jeremiah 29, God has plans to prosper us, to give us hope in a future. Isaiah 41, God will strengthen us. Exodus 14 says that God fights for us. Psalm 32, that God teaches us and guides us. Psalm 32 also says that he is our hiding place. These are the promises of God. That God keeps us safe when we're asleep. That God protects us from the evil one. That God provides a way out when we face temptation. That God will comfort us. God will keep us in peace. God exalts the humble. He gives us rest. God forgives us when we confess our sins before him. That God offers us through Christ eternal life. That God gives us the victory over death. That he gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. And this promise from John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, to all who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gives the right to become children of God. I need to hear the promises of God. And I think you do too. And Peter is writing to these believers. And again, we'll learn more in chapter 2, but he actually says these false teachers have come in and have secretly swayed them, planting these seeds of destruction and half-truth. And the encouragement is, stand on the promises of God's word. Remind yourself of what God has said in his word. Know the truth. The truth shall set you free. And when that false teaching comes along, you won't believe it. Or when that difficult situation arises, you will stand strong amidst it. When your life is built on Christ and standing on the promises of God's word, you will stand strong because God's word is true. And so Peter writes then, we're in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, For this very reason, what he's saying is, since you've heard God's promises, since you've believed them, since you're no longer corrupted by the world, since you have fellowship with Christ, since you participate in the divine nature, meaning God does this work of transformation where you're no longer guided by your fleshly desires, but you have the Spirit within you. You have a divine nature about you. It doesn't mean that you're God, but he calls us to be godly. We are called to godliness. When Christ is master of your life, you start to look like, sound like Jesus. And so what Peter says is, for this very reason, in verse 5, make every effort to add to your faith goodness. And then we have this beautiful list. Let's read through it together. And to goodness, knowledge. And to knowledge, self-control. And to self-control, perseverance. And to perseverance, godliness. And to godliness, mutual affection. And to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, again, we're talking about spiritual growth. He He says, even more, more and more and more and more, as Christ is filling your life, you are possessing these qualities in increasing measures. He says, they'll keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That you won't just say, I believe in God, or I have this knowledge of Christ or the scriptures, but you will be productive, you will be fruitful, you will be effective for the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we have this warning starting in verse 9, but whoever does not have them, meaning this list of qualities or attributes, whoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sins. Therefore, my brothers and sisters, make every effort to confirm your calling and election. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. And you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So again, what's the main point this morning? It's when we're in Christ, we are growing. He is increasing even more and more and more in our lives this fruitfulness. We start with faith. Let's just take a minute and kind of walk through these. We start with faith. Faith is the cornerstone, right? It's the starting point. It's based on the promises of God. It is believing that Jesus is who he said he is, that the Gospels are true accounts of what he did, that he taught, lived a perfect sinless life, died on the third day by the power of God, resurrected, ascended to the right hand of the Father, is preparing a place for us in eternity, and one day will come back for us. It's believing those things in faith, and it's trusting him. And it's acknowledging that Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. So again, I want to be really clear on this. Faith is not just believing in God. Because we live in a land of people who would mostly, the majority of people would say, I, big man upstairs, God, yes. That's not faith. Because the evidence of God is all over the place. You would be a fool to say there is no God, and the scriptures affirm that. But faith isn't just about believing in God, it's about surrendering our lives to him, just as we've sung this morning. Faith is trusting him. It's saying, God, my life is now yours. Whatever life I have, whatever breath you've given me, Lord, it's for you. You're my master. You're the one who owns me. Every area of my life. That's faith. It is a faith lived out, active, trusting. And so here's what Peter teaches then to these believers and to you and I today. Make every effort to add to your faith goodness. Now, I'm not sure which English translation you have. Many of them say virtue. But this is a point, goodness, virtue, it's about integrity, it's about character, it's about doing what's right even though no one really seems to be watching. Why? Because God is watching, and you know that, and your heart before him is, God, I want to honor you. And so it's not, no one's watching, I can do this thing, and I'm not going to get caught, it's, God sees all and knows all. And so I'm going to choose this goodness, this virtue, this integrity, this character, not because I'm getting accolades or pats on the back or piety points, but because I care about the Lord and I have a relationship with him. And so the encouragement here is start with faith, add this goodness, this integrity, again, out of our love for and reverence for the Lord, and then we add knowledge. And again, knowledge isn't just knowing facts about the Bible or about God. It's growing in your relationship with him. That means spend time with him. Study his word. Read his word. It's about listening to his voice. So spending time in prayer, not just talking, but spending time in prayer talking as well as listening to the Lord and then walking in obedience to where he directs. But Peter doesn't stop there, does he? We kind of read through that already, but he keeps adding. All right, again, it's, to me, I look at this and I go, it's because there's always growth in the spiritual journey. You know, and it's not just, I got saved and now everything is different. That's true. It's about my relationship with Jesus impacts the way that I parent my children and the way I interact with my community and the good news of the gospel that I embraced when I was about 4 years old still has relevance and impact for me today in how I treat my wife. That's the good news. So Peter just continues going with this list, adding knowledge. And then he says, to knowledge add self-control. Like, we're all going to have those sinful desires. We're all going to be faced with those temptations. Through Christ, we say, no, I'm not going to dishonor God. We say, Lord Jesus, help me. Lord Jesus, do I need to flee? Do I need to run away? Lord, help me to stand strong amidst this. And saying yes to God's will. Saying yes to what he has for our lives. And then we add perseverance. Again, this is all rooted in the promises of God. And so when we remember what God has said and what God has done, then we press on. I'm not going to give up now because I know all of what God has done. And I remember what he has done for me. And so I'm going to press on. And I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus. So perseverance, it's about endurance. It's about clinging to Christ and saying, I will not let go. And he holds me firm and secure and will not let go. And therefore, I'm not going to give up, even in the midst of trial and persecution. And then what do we have next? Godliness. That's a tough one, I think, isn't it? Like, does my life reflect Jesus? And in a lot of ways, these are best lived out and understood and embraced in Christian community. Because it'd be really silly for me to stand in front or for you to say, yep, I got a lot of godliness. Versus coming alongside a brother and saying, Caleb, I see godliness in your life. And you mentioned this morning that you fall and you stumble. Yeah, okay. And I do too. But I see Christ at work in your life. He has transformed you, and he's still working in your life. And it's in the context of relationship that we see those things better than we do, I think, in our own lives. So Peter says godliness, and then he mentions mutual affection. Like, this is loving and caring about others, based in the Greek word phileo. It's again, depending on your English translation, it might say brotherly love. That we're friends and we care about each other. We submit to one another. We serve one another. And then there's a final encouragement that he lists here. What's the final encouragement from this passage? In this list of things that Peter is saying, add. Somebody help me. It's love. Thank you. And the Greek word is agape. This is the unconditional love of the Lord. This is a sacrificial love that says, I am putting you ahead of me. This is the love that Jesus has for us. This is the kind of love that's written about in 1 Corinthians 13. A love that is not self-serving, a love that is not boastful, that is not proud, a love that does not delight in evil, but always rejoices with the truth. In fact, verse 13 of that passage, 1 Corinthians 13, that we know is the love chapter, Paul says, and now these three remain, faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. And as we study this passage in 2 Peter chapter 1, we see there in verse 9, Peter says, if you don't have these things in your life, you don't have phileo love with a community of brothers and sisters in Christ. You don't have that sort of character that your heart beats for God. You don't have perseverance. You don't have self-discipline. He says, if you don't have these things in your life, you're blind. He says, you're nearsighted and blind. You have failed to see through spiritual eyes. And Lord, forgive us for the times that we fail to see through spiritual eyes. And Lord, give us eyes to see. What a great entrapment that so many of us face. Living life through the lens of an earthly perspective. Valuing so much the things that are here, that are now, that are tangible, that are physical. And let me tell you this morning that when you grow spiritually, when you grow in Christ, this is one of the things that changes. God begins to work this in your life. He begins to unveil your eyes. And all of a sudden, And it might be the exact same situation. It might be the exact same person that you have previously viewed through an earthly perspective. You now see with spiritual eyes. God gives you this kingdom mindset. Because our life on earth is going to be short. Very short compared to eternity. I'd love to share this morning about the weekend, because we sent a mission team to Columbus this weekend. A church-wide mission trip. And I want to just say, Kendrick Mullet and Steve Potes, Marty Math, these guys are our mission board. And they had a vision, and they said, we want to see MCA do a mission trip together as a church. And so they dreamed it up, they schemed it up, they reached out to an organization called Rosedale International in Columbus, Ohio. Rosedale said, well, we really don't have anything like that available. We do groups for high school students coming for a week in the summer, but we would consider having a church come and serve with us. And so through the initiative, Rosedale has now launched, as of today, it will be completed a little later today, a brand new program called Family Challenge. And we were the guinea pigs. So we went down to Columbus on Thursday. It's a four-day event, serving Thursday, Friday, Saturday. I came back late last night because I wanted to be here. They are serving this morning, and then we'll be traveling back. So we will see a bus pulling in the parking lot at about 12 o'clock as we're kind of dismissing this morning. You'll see. So when you see a bus pull in and people getting off, that you'll know who that is. We had a group of 35 that participated this weekend. And I'm sharing these stories because, and I didn't realize how well, you know, God just orchestrates these things, how well it would dovetail into the teaching in 2 Peter, and just how God helps to shift in you to this kingdom mindset and to see through spiritual eyes. I mean, there's a lot that I could share about the weekend. Let me just say that it was awesome. Everything was excellent with the opportunities we were given. We had our group break into smaller groups. We spent time every morning getting into the Word of God, doing devotions, not just reading, but talking about our insights and sharing with one another and praying. We spent time in worship in the Lord's presence, and we went out to serve in Columbus. And we went into some places that I normally would not go into. And yes, we talked with some people that I probably would not normally talk to. We served both in physical capacities. There was one of the places I went was a food pantry type place, and so we did some cleaning. We did some construction type prep. They're going to do some new drywall. But then we also did ministry out in the wild. And so one of the things we experienced was brown bagging. Some of you know what that is, but we made a brown bag meal for ourselves, and then we made another brown bag meal for someone else. And you go and find someone, and there are plenty of homeless in the area in which we were serving. And you just sort of come alongside them and say, are you interested in a meal? So the gentleman that I talked with happened to be sitting at a bus stop. And he said yes. And so I sat with him and I said, I'm hungry. And I was very hungry. We had worked hard that day, had a light lunch, and I was really hungry. And I'm like, Let's eat together. So we broke bread together. He ate the one meal, I ate the other, and had the chance to talk with him and offer Christ to him and offer to pray for him. And the bus came, and I kind of looked at the guy and looked at the bus. There were other people waiting at the bus stop who got on the bus, and he didn't budge. Then the bus went off. So I'm like, okay, that must not be his bus. We had an experience yesterday on Saturday where we did like a scavenger hunt type thing. And it was wild. It was really challenging. It was difficult. We did kind of simultaneous, like we're simulating homelessness ourselves. And so we're tired, we're hungry, we can't use resources that we normally have. But we're also looking for the Rosedale International interns who were placed around the city, and we were kind of given where they were and like a rough map of where to find them. And one of the locations was at the State House yesterday. And unbeknownst to me, there was a giant protest of thousands of people who went to the state house yesterday. And so I'm walking along the streets, which earlier were very deserted, and all of a sudden there are a lot of people, and they just happen to be going the exact same way that I'm going, block after block after block after block. And then I start seeing they're holding these signs. And so I had the opportunity, as we walked 10 minutes or so, to talk with several people who were going that way, in my naivety, to say, hey, is there like a protest happening? Well, yes, there is. Hey, what is it that you're protesting? And a very kind of open-minded conversation with them. To say, what are the things that you're concerned about? What are the things that you care about? Why would you come out, and it was raining yesterday, why would you come out in the rain and give up a Saturday that you could be doing something else to protest? And to kind of hear them on that and have conversations there. And several of my kids were with me and said, well, we've never experienced anything like that. And on the brown bagging side of this, I love this because I had two of my daughters that were with me when we did the brown bagging experience. And they were a little bit nervous. They'd never done anything like this before. And like, we're going to go up to someone on the street and we just felt that God's hand was on us. We just felt that the Lord led us to just the right people. We ended up with three people that we connected with, that we were able to pray with, that we were able to encourage and even hear part of their story. And it just felt like the Lord was in it. And I experienced growth in my own faith and my own relationship with Jesus from going. Because there were many moments where I was out of my comfort zone. One of the moments where I wasn't terribly out of my comfort zone was when we were hungry. And so Rosedale says, this was yesterday during the scavenger hunt portion, they said, lunch tomorrow, because we were out all day. We walked, according to my Fitbit, 7 miles. And they said, lunch tomorrow is on your own with your group. And we'll give you money. Now, again, we were not allowed to use certain resources or even our own resources. So we'll give you everything you need. You can't use anything else. And then they dropped the bomb. Oh, yeah, you're getting $1.50 a person. we're in the place where it's like, what's it called? Chris's Ruth's Steakhouse, you know, places like that. They're like, what can we get for $1.50 in there? Not even a sniff. And so we ended up buying that blueberry muffin, didn't we? Yeah, we were to buy a muffin and share that. And one of the scavenger hunt locations where we had to find someone was the North Market. And we went in there hungry. And we just happened to find some delicious French fries that someone had put in the trash can. So that was, they were like dill lemon flavored. I'm assuming that was by design, but dill lemon fries from the trash can. Yeah, it was the best part of the day, was feasting on the warm, delicious French fries. And not only did I grow in my faith and my walk with Jesus and being in some situations that were out of the norm and out of my comfort zone, but I saw that happening in the lives of my children. I saw that happening in the lives of others who were there. And those daughters of mine who went on the brown bag thing, who were like, they were a little bit nervous and they didn't know how it was going to go. And it just went, it could not have gone better. And after, as we debriefed and we talked about it, they said, that wasn't so bad at all. Like, yeah, because Christ was with us, because he led us to those people. He had orchestrated those encounters. So there are many, many more stories. And again, the others that went on the trip will be glad to share those. We laughed. We had some moments where we could just relax and play games together. Those were very spare, but we worked hard together. We went out in the streets of Columbus, and at times we did just like a conversational ministry where we're just asking people questions, and we were amazed. Going up to a complete stranger in a major metro area and asking a really personal question like, hey, would you be willing to share with me like a childhood memory of yours? Hey, would you be willing to share with me, like, what's something that you really, it's a goal of yours, it's a dream of yours that you haven't accomplished yet? We asked these types of questions. We had 10 questions, and we had to find, we found 10 people and asked each of them these questions. And it was amazing to have these conversations with a complete stranger who shares their heart with you. And so we learned so much. The knowledge, and again, knowledge just jumps off the page as you study 2 Peter. The knowledge that we gained about humans and their craving for connection and God's heart for a relationship with his people and with those who don't yet acknowledge him. And we experienced that. So all of that also, I could say, is a giant plug for, I would love to see our church do further mission trips, and I would love to have you come along. It was amazing. It exceeded all expectations tenfold, and really sensed that the Lord was in it, the Lord was with us. Because I feel like when you serve the Lord, when you do step out of your comfort zone, you grow in your walk with Christ. Like, you see God at work, and you praise him, you bless him, you connect with other people too. I mean, there are all sorts of inside jokes and humorous stories coming out of this time together. Especially when we get back yesterday afternoon from this day-long, 7-mile, very limited food. We've eaten trash fries. We've been in the protest at the state house. Like, all of this stuff. And then the different teams were, like, scored. And there was going to be, like, a grand prize winner for the scavenger hunt. And we had been given a certain sum of money to bless someone else with. Like, you could buy something, you could pay it forward, you could go to a homeless person with a cup of coffee, whatever. One of the groups used their money, their extra money, to buy a gift card for the director of Rosedale International, and guess who won the scavenger hunt? So there's a major scandal happening there with the group that won and the fact that they used their, I think it was $8 or something, but they used their money to get a gift card for the judges themselves, which we called bribery. And whether you serve the Lord in Columbus or in Fredericksburg or in your home, or I think we have a young man who's in Africa as we speak. Cannot wait to hear the stories and the transformation and the growth happening in his life. But no matter where you go, no matter how you do that, when you're serving the Lord, when you're on mission for him, and even doing it in Christian community, you grow spiritually. You depend on the Lord. So again, I want to make this really clear this morning as we study this scripture, that it's not our goodness, it's not our righteousness, it's not, well, I sacrificed 4 days of my time and went on a mission trip, that changes anybody. Like, we have received God's goodness. We know his salvation through Christ, and we want to share it with others. So this sort of spiritual growth is only a work of God. It's not conjured up. It's not fabricated. It's not, well, I really want to be great. And God honors that heart. We talked about that, I think, last Sunday. You want to be great in my kingdom? Here's how. Be a servant of all. But it's a work of God in our lives. So, in fact, as we look back even at verse 4 from 2 Peter chapter 1, he has given us his very great and precious promises so that through them you may participate in the divine nature. Through them, having escaped the corruption of the world caused by evil desires. So our part then is to give God glory. Because when we grow in Christ, as I said, when we embrace the good news of the gospel, it affects our relationships, our friendships, our work relationships, our marriages, our parenting, our service to the local church, and to the ends of the earth. We are blessed by the Lord and want to be a blessing to others. And so God is the one who gets the glory in that. When someone hears the good news and responds in faith, we know this from the scriptures, that the heavens erupt with celebration. All glory to God. It's not for the pat on the back from others. In fact, Jesus teaches this clearly in John chapter 15 and verse 8. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourself to be my disciples. So when we follow where he leads and grow spiritually, it is for the glory of God. So spiritual growth, it's a work of God, it's for God's glory. And just one final encouragement this morning, don't forget it. don't get this sort of spiritual amnesia where we don't recount and we don't recall and the memories start to fade. And Peter addressed this, right? Those who have forgotten. They've forgotten that they've been cleansed from their past sins. Don't forget the good news that God has offered forgiveness and hope. The hope of eternal life spent in paradise with him through his son, Jesus Christ. Jesus came as a perfect, spotless lamb, and he went to the cross, bearing the agony and the scorn. Why? Because of our sin. Jesus took the punishment that was meant for you and I. And so this good news that whoever believes in him, right? That's what we read in John 3:16. Whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. And I say, how could you forget that? And we sang this morning about being made alive in Christ, like dead things come to life because of Jesus. So don't forget it. You were once an enemy of God, and now you're a friend of God. You're a co-heir with Christ, and you're called a son and a daughter. You're part of his forever family. Don't forget it. In fact, let me share one more story from this weekend. A guy I met who was actually serving at a food pantry, but was kind of a recipient himself. And his name was Vinny. And Vinny shared with me that each and every day, he tells one person, at least one person, about the goodness of God. Just one person. Every day. He said, I'm going to declare what God has done. And I'm going to praise him for it. And I said, that's right, Vinny, because if you don't, the rocks are going to cry out. I was really inspired by that. One person every single day. So, church, let's keep growing. Let's be budding and coming alive and newness and freshness because of Christ. Let's allow God to work in our hearts so that we become more like Jesus every day. And again, that's a work of God. It's for his glory. God desires that all people would come into the saving knowledge of Jesus. This is our memory verse for the month, 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, he is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Let's pray. Thank you, God, our Heavenly Father, for all you have done. Thank you, Lord, for this weekend, and for going before the mission team to Columbus, and for orchestrating those many interactions. And thank you, Lord, for the growth. Thank you for what you're doing, oh God. We long to see you get the glory. And Lord, we long to see even more people come into your kingdom, come into a saving knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's in his name we pray all these things. Amen. Hey, our prayer team is available this morning. We would love to pray with you and bless you.